Okay, am I the only person who can't find his cursor half the time on a screen? Just asking. Trying to move stuff around so we can move to the next module of this show. But for whatever reason, my cursor constantly disappears and then I have to go hunting for it. All right, enough ranting.
Well, we do have a detective on the line.
We do. Maybe he can find the cursor. I mean, on my home computer, actually, I turned it yellow and made it bigger. But here, I constantly, because I got to move stuff around in order to keep things going from one segment to the next, and it constantly disappears. All right, so let's actually move to the crime blotter. Always a pleasure to say good morning to our crime specialist, former homicide detective Mark Mendelson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John. Let's get this right out of the way for our conversation. I would help you find the cursor.
Yes.
However, I just found out from Joe Cristiano that I'm the only person, I believe, who contributes to the morning show that's not going with you to the Yankees game today. It's okay. I'll get over it. But I just want to get that out there. And if you make it right, I'll help you find the cursor.
Oh, gosh. Now I feel bad. Okay. Well, I'll tell you,
you should.
Put together another outing. I never know who the baseball fans are, to be perfectly honest. But
because you never asked, John. You never asked me. That's why.
Gosh. He's scorned. Okay. So let's talk about this business. Press conference, 9 o'clock this morning, about the $20 million gold heist at the Toronto airport. But I mean, people are always going to have sort of a Thomas Crown Affair impression of a gold heist. And I hate the word, but this was a pretty brazen affair. What do we know?
Well, we got a little bit of a twist yesterday when Peel Regional decided they were going to have this press conference in the morning. And if you looked at the release, it mentioned that they would be joined by ATF, or Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, which is a federal law enforcement agency in the U.S. And I thought right away, how did they get into this mix? Well, we're starting to learn now, according to information and, you know, articles that have been released over the last couple of hours. It turns out that four people, three from Brampton, one from Florida, were arrested in the U.S. in and around the, you know, the gold heist, involving firearms and importing firearms into Canada. And that started a whole investigation down there. And from what I'm reading so far, it sounds like there was something, we don't know what it is, that was contained within one of the gun cases that led them to Pearson Airport and to the gold heist. So, you know, the phone calls are made, the conversations are had with Peel Regional, and next thing you know, we have what they dubbed Project 24K, which is now, you know, culminated in arrest. We don't know what charges. I think these accused are still probably in Florida at this particular moment. But all of this seems to stem from importing illegal and some pretty serious firearms into Canada from the U.S.
More evidence of how dumb criminals can be, though, isn't it? That, you know, you got away with a $20 million gold heist, but then you get into gun running.
Well, there's an old saying from a very wise civil lawyer in Canada who once said, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And you know what? They were pigs. They took the gold, but they decided to get into the gun running business. I mean, why? Why would you bother, John? You're sitting on $20 million worth of gold and currency. And then you get greedy like this. And it all started because one guy in Florida who was there, one of the guys from Brampton, actually committed a small traffic violation. And he got pulled over by the police. He got scared and he ran from the car. And that's where they found the first cache of weapons. So, you know, not signaling your right-hand turn is going to put you in jail, maybe for the rest of your life.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of the taking of Pelham 123, which is about a heist that takes place on a money train on the New York subway. And the climactic scene is the cops go to a guy's house, they question him, and they think, okay, nothing here. And then he sneezes. And they remember that the guy who was on the radio during the heist had a cold.
Walter Matthau, when he turns, he goes, bless you, or Gesundheit or something.
Yeah.
That, you know,
yeah.
Great stuff. But sometimes this is how these things fall together, John. It's just a fluke.
Let me ask you about another file altogether. It just seems that carjackings are going to the next level, and people are being pulled out of cars at gunpoint and knife point, and then people get into the vehicles and drive away. And it just, you know, wonder how much worse can it get?
Well, there's nothing funny about this at all. This whole car theft thing started in terms of the way we experienced it, with people coming in the middle of the night and they were cloning your fob, and then they had antennas and they could actually start your vehicle in your driveway under the cover of darkness, and you didn't realize until you woke up in the morning. And then people started to take reasonable precautions. They were parking their vehicles differently. They were hiding their fobs. They were putting steering wheel locks on their cars, things of that nature. So criminals have to morph, and they've got to change their technique. And what they realized was that they could grab somebody, say, in a parking lot of a mall or at an intersection, you know, overwhelm them with the two or three people, pull them out of the car, get the vehicle, and take off. And that has now, again, escalated to the point now where they're armed and where they're stopping people, you know, in one case at a gas station, you know, where you're out of the vehicle and you're pumping gas and they overwhelm you. In one case, a guy got run over by his own Lamborghini. I mean, it's easier for the criminals because they don't have to worry about the break and enter. They don't have to worry about, you know, sneaking around in the middle of the night. They just show up somewhere and do it and overwhelm people. But at the end of the day, everybody has to remember it's just a car. You have insurance. Your life is not worth fighting, you know, for in this particular case. Leave it be. Give them the vehicle. Let them go. But they are. They're in, I know you hate the word. They're getting more brazen. And look at the ages of the people that are getting arrested, John.
They're teenagers.
Most of them are under 20, most of them. I mean, and some of them are teenagers or young persons under the criminal code. Because it's easy money. They can make $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on a high-end vehicle with really very little risk to them in terms of getting arrested. But the police are onto it. You know, there's more patrols that are out there now. People's eyes are more open. You know, just the general public when they're driving around, they're seeing things. There's cameras in cars all over the place now. So all of these things are going to make them have to change their methodology again.
Thank you, sir.
Have a super morning. Enjoy the ball game this afternoon, John.
Thank
Sorry
you.
If we bothered you, Mr. Longman. Gesundheit.
There you go. It's some movies have the most perfunctory endings. My favorite, I still think, is the original Italian Job, and it's Michael Caine, and everything has come undone in the heist they're pulling off, and they're in a school bus that is tilting back and forth on a precipice and about to fall over. And Michael Caine says, "Wait a minute, I got an idea." And that's the end of the movie.